The following contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki.
The two of you were under restraining orders to stay away from each other.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Well, you're going to get it now.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models, specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering within a 10-mile radius of Taft Corners.
Taft Corners is in Williston.
Try them for your next wing order, too. 879-1000.
You need to start throwing bombs, baby!
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Living the dream, baby, living the dream.
We are living the dream, and we're taking you with us. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I am your host, Jeff Paul, and sitting shotgun with me is my good friend, my buddy, Bernie Siplicki. Good morning, my man.
Good morning, my friend.
Are you having some technical difficulty with the earbuds this morning?
I'm good, man.
Those look sharp. Those are good ones. Where'd you find those? You must have stole those from some other studio.
Yeah, they're over here somewhere.
Oh, they're over here, yeah. Dave Hunter on the board. Well done with your Sports Center, my man.
Again?
655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today. 802-655-6672. And also, if you want to just text us, if you don't feel like calling us, because we've learned over the years that now, you know, the kids, they don't want to talk to you anymore. They want to text you. So now you can text us here on the Town Fair Tire text line at 802-655-6672. Same phone number to call or text, 802-655-6672. What a show we have today. I can't wait to tell you all about it. But Bernie, welcome back, and what a weekend you had last weekend.
Thanks. It's great to be back. It was a lot of fun, and unfortunately, back to reality.
Yeah, back to reality. But listen, I can't wait to talk about this later on in the show, but if for the old you that didn't listen, Bernie is a very big deal.
Stop it, Jeff.
Okay. Big.
A big deal. I mean, you can see him on television with ESPN3, which is a huge deal. I mean,
Jeff,
I think that's really
Jeff.
Cool. He even gets a hold of
the
microphone.
Hey, Bernie, do you put on makeup when you go on TV?
That is a good question.
I need to, but I don't.
You know what I like the most about that is what I like the most is being able to hold the microphone with the ESPN logo on it.
We haven't had to do that, though.
What? I've seen it once. The game you called that I saw when I was in North Carolina, you had that.
We did?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's awesome. I remember when you and I went to do that. I'll tell you something right now, and I'm going to go off tangent for a minute.
Yeah, you are.
When we had the opportunity to do our show before the America East Championship game.
Yeah.
And I got to sit in press row.
Yeah.
And I got to spend the day, like, right there. Kind of get to go wherever I wanted to go. I had this big press credential. That was just awesome.
Rubbing elbows.
Yes. It was awesome. But the coolest thing was that I just love those ESPN microphones. I'm a little upset at myself that I didn't pick it up off the desk and take a selfie with it. I've always wanted to use one of those things. You know what I mean? I don't know why. I just think they're cool.
Hopefully with this team being this good again this year, we will
That's right.
We will let history repeat itself, and we won't make that same mistake.
And I would just throw this out to Coach Becker. He should probably say that in Sports Saturday should be live before that game if they're lucky enough to be in that game, because it's good luck. I mean, we brought them good luck that day. They didn't play their best basketball, but they found a way to win, and we were there to do that. Come on.
Like yesterday.
A lot like yesterday. Okay, we'll get into that in a minute. Okay. But talk a little bit about your trip. I mean, you were let's be honest here, Bernie, on the court. See, there's a picture of Lamb shooting a free throw, and there was the burn man, feet up in the back at practice. I mean, come on, you're living the dream, baby. You didn't take me with you, which is not good.
Well, you know, I do regret that.
I'm sure.
You know, I know we would have had a lot of fun. I don't know if we would have come back, but you know, it was
invited back. Probably not.
Yeah, that's true.
That's probably true. Yeah, okay. All right.
You know, it was just an experience that if you're a basketball fan, you have to go to Rupp Arena.
Yeah,
it is just it's an event. It's an event with a basketball game sandwiched in between in terms of, you know, the what they do in terms of giveaways. It really is like a pro atmosphere.
Yeah.
And it's just it's one of those things that, you know, I can cross it off the bucket list. It was just so rewarding. And, you know, the only thing that would have made it better was Vermont getting a win. But,
which almost happened. Which,
you know, they were so close, and, yeah, and they played so well. And it's going to be a fun season.
And also, it's going to be great for that. And obviously, it was great for Vermont. And if you have an opportunity to go to Rupp Arena and watch a game, you got to do it. I mean, I would love to go do something like that. But the perception you had wasn't just sitting up in the nosebleeds watching a game. I mean, you're on the court, hobnobbing with Calipari after the game. I mean, you're able to kind of be in that atmosphere. For people that don't understand, and I've only been able to live this dream once with this, was getting a press credential allows you to kind of go wherever you want. I mean, you know, you want to, I mean, I'll give you an example. If I wanted to go to the middle of the court during the America East Championship game and like video it coming out, I could have done that. I mean, during halftime, I'm walking across the court. I mean, Bernie is at Rupp Arena, you know, in and out of rooms with guys like John Calipari. Could have been Jay Billis. I guess he was taken off the game last minute. I mean,
Rex Chapman was there.
There he, oh, you know, no
some,
kidding.
Some great, to really go deep, Kyle Macy from the 70s.
Yep.
You know, a great guard. I was fortunate enough to meet him, met Rex Chapman. It just, you know, you just don't realize it. But the thing that, you know, besides all that, and, you know, we sit here and we talk about the one and done.
Yeah.
And the thing that really struck me the most was
the bourbon.
Well, I did that, but that was a little later. What was the Kentucky kids?
Yeah.
You know, you forget they're an 18-year-old boy and they are 6'11" and they have long arms, but they're boys.
The kids.
And you just don't, you just don't fathom it until you really see it. You know, they're in the pregame shoot arounds and they're just goofy kids.
Yeah.
And they get thrown into this business. And it's just really it's really weird.
Yeah.
And like now it makes sense to, you know, why all this stuff happens in terms of, you know, okay, I can see why a kid might take an extra benefit from a booster because they just don't know anybody.
Right.
They're an 18-year-old kid who, you know, might not have anything that comes to this 25,000-seat arena that has glamour, everything around it, and they just don't know.
And how about, more importantly, not only the arena, but they are thrust into one of the biggest programs in the country that every sportscaster in the country is talking about. You're playing with one of the most polarizing coaches in the world, John Calipari.
And John Calipari,
yeah,
like, I have so much respect for him.
Yeah.
Because he is just, you know, you watch the documentaries on him, and you see the stuff about, you know, when he gets into the Hall of Fame and the one and done. And I can see why players love him forever, because he is just so honest and brutally honest. Yeah. Like, in terms of, you know, he'll yell at the point guard, you know what? You just killed all of us because you got lazy on the screen. And then the next play, the kid will make a great play, and he'd be like, you know what? You just picked us up because you made that play. And he just, every play, like, he's exhausted
at the end of the game. You can tell by watching
Yes.
You can tell by watching
it. It's fantastic.
Well, we're gonna talk about this during the 11:40 thing, because one of the things, I'm glad you didn't bring it up, to ruin my whole plan for the show.
Okay.
But when I asked you, this is when I talked to you when you got home, the best part the conversation you and I had was a conversation you had with John Calipari. And I want to talk about that at the 11:40 segment. I want to talk about that, the question, the answer to something that he said to you. And if we can kind of talk about that, we'll talk about that at 11:40. But what a show we have today. I want to go down that. It's going to be a lot of UVM today, which I'm excited about. We're going to talk to UVM women's hockey coach Jim Plumer. Tough loss last night for the Cats, but this is a hockey program that's coming, and a lot of that has to do with Jim Plumer.
It does, and, you know, I mean, yes, they did stub their toe a little bit last night, but the weekend before,
Clarkson,
you know, the big win over Clarkson, and to split with them, it just, again, you can just see that program getting better and better and better. So it'll be exciting to talk to him and get an update from him.
And he's so vested in this community in this area. He's a big-time former coach. He comes to UVM, takes over a program that was kind of floundering, and they're starting to find themselves in Hockey East. It'll be exciting to talk to him. At 11 o'clock, we're going to talk fantasy football with Jake Kent. Normally, that's an 11:40 segment. We're moving Jake up, so get your fantasy football questions ready at 11 o'clock. Jake's going to join us. And then finally, we're going to talk at 11:20 with assistant coach for the men's basketball team at UVM, Ryan Schneider. Big win last night against Bradley. They move on to the next round of the, where are they? They're hanging out in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
My nephew met Didi Gregorius at the pool yesterday.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Tell him to get me an autograph or something.
No.
Oh, come on.
Come on, man.
How about that for dropping the ball, Bernie?
Dropping the ball. I get a text message last night
hanging
from my
out
nephew.
With
Didi. He's like, I'm like, how's the weather? He's like, it's cool. I'm like, everything good? He's like, yeah, I met Didi at the pool.
Oh,
I'm like,
that
wow.
Is cool.
Okay.
That is so cool.
A solid.
I'm excited
and
for
then,
him.
And then I asked him, you know, what do you think of Houston?
Oh, be quiet. I think I was going to do that. What are you going to do that for?
Because you're wearing a Yankee hat.
Oh, stop it. Anyway.
You know, anyway, how's your manager?
I can't wait to find out who it's going to be.
Okay.
I mean, why you got to rush that? Why you got to rush the Yankees? The Yankees got plenty of time. Sit back and relax. Figure out what they're going to do. They don't have to tell us what they're going to do all the time. They're going to take their time. Maybe I'm going to be the manager. What do you think of that? They haven't called me yet.
That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
That'd be awesome.
I don't know if I can handle that job, but I could
try. Can I just
try.
Be your personal
assistant?
You can
handle it.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
You can be like the George Costanza.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's a great
role
for me.
That's a perfect job. That'll be perfect. So anyway, we'll talk to Ryan. A really hard-fought game last night. Actually, yesterday afternoon. It was a great game at 11 o'clock in the morning. I had it in Ramonto's. I pumped it up in Ramonto's so we could listen to it.
Oh, yeah. You were killing me.
What do you mean I was killing you?
You know,
I thought I was helping you out so you weren't having to text me updates every 10 minutes. Here I am saying, no, I put it on the restaurant. So
you know,
here
I am, you know, trying to reach out, trying to be a nice friend. And he's like, I got it on at the shop.
That is not the way.
I'm like, oh, okay.
That is not the way. Sorry, buddy. That is not the way that I was texting. This is the problem with text messages.
Exactly.
Right there. This
exactly.
way, because you never get the tone. See, my tone was like, this is how my tone was. My tone was like, I got it on the restaurant. Thanks so much, buddy.
No, this was
the
tone.
And this is what I
get. We are swamped. Leave me alone. I don't want to get back to you. You know, we're listening. You know, Dave,
none of that is true. None of that is true. None of that is true. Anyway, we'll talk to Ryan, the Catamounts, with that unbelievable game against Kentucky, a game that I think in some aspects, Bern, you were right there, is a game they probably kind of let get away from them. They didn't play great early. But that seems to be the MO for this basketball team is they don't play great in the first half, but boy, they turn it on in the second half and find a way to win.
Yes. I mean, it was early foul trouble. Again, and it's
missed a lot of layups early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, it was the first game.
Sure.
And it's at Rupp Arena.
Exactly.
So, you know. No,
on ESPN.
Right.
Big
and,
deal.
You know, I don't care who you are. We're still Vermont.
No, I agree.
And we have expectation, but it's, you know, that's always a little unnerving. And they had chances. And I tell you, this team is going to be good. And that's what I'm most proud of about yesterday's win. They were bad yesterday. Let's not kid ourselves. But they still found a way to win the game.
Well, they were
bad.
And
that's the most important thing.
They were bad in the first half. They were pretty darn good in the second half.
They were better.
I mean, you know, they made big shots. They made, I mean.
Didn't close it out, though. But we
can
get it.
We'll talk about that next time. We'll get into that next time. But I do have to say this, and I've said this many times. I wish somebody, I'm going to get off sports for a minute because you know how I roll.
Why?
When things happen to me during the week, I like to ask for help. Okay?
What?
Yeah, I do. And I'm asking you for help. I have a horrible time going to buy coffee at Starbucks. I get so intimidated of that menu and the people in there.
You're spending $30 on a cup of coffee.
Well, so here's the thing. I went in there because I wanted to buy my employees. Everybody loves Starbucks. Okay, those drinks are amazing. Well, I mean, if you'd like coffee, you like Starbucks, I think. But anyway, long story short, I go in to buy for my employees some of these, you know, they want these Frupachichis or whatever they're called, these Coca Macchiacos or whatever's going on over there.
Coca Macchiacos.
Okay, I mean, I don't know what happens there. And I go in there, and because I don't know what they are and I don't understand the sizing, like there's this Vente and I don't know, they don't have normal small, medium, and large. They have different names for these things.
Okay.
And when you get in line there, you know, you start to order and you're not sure and you feel like you're in the kitchen of the soup Nazi, you know? I mean, the girl at the desk was great, but the people there waiting are looking at you like, get out of the way if you don't know. Like, either get your stuff together, get your mind right. And I'm intimidated of the people. They just look at you with their scarves and stuff, and they're just, you know, scowling at you. So I'm nervous when I go in there.
So I have your solution.
What is it? Don't go anymore.
Go get those fruit cups.
No, dude, the fruit cup. No, I do get the fruit cup. I'm just saying, I wish there was like a dummy's guide to buying Starbucks so I could read it and understand what everything means there. Like, what is a caramel macchiato? Like, what is that? I don't know what a caramel macchiato is and froth and all this stuff. I don't know any of what these things are. What's Vente? I have medium, large.
You're venting right now.
Right. That's what I think Vente is. But over there, that's the size of a drink. And
what?
Then there's, I'm telling you. And then there's these... In fact,
Thank God I don't drink coffee.
One of my employees wanted a chai tea, so I went to and I thought
Bless
I got,
you.
Yeah, I went so I ordered this chai tea and he gets it and he goes, oh, I really appreciate it, but this isn't what I want. This is one with the frothy one. This is like the one that's with froth. I go, what? I asked for the chai tea. I thought that was a hot cup, you know, a hot cup of water and a tea bag in it. That's what I thought it was. But instead, I get this thing that's got swirls in it, and I don't know what's going on. So anyway, if somebody can help me with that, I'd appreciate it.
Well, I guess maybe what do we look at the let's pull up a menu.
I'm gonna
and let's print it out, and we can work our way through it.
Intern Aaron says Starbucks is a racket in the coffee. Oh, okay, I don't want to say that. Well, I'll tell you what,
I'm not a sponsor.
Yeah, well, whatever. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to diss anybody. I'm just saying, people, whether you like it or not, for me, I want to be able to go in there. I'm intimidated of that store. I am, but then again, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of the dark,
you?
And I don't like snakes either.
Monica can't.
Oh, Monica speaks perfect. Perfect.
Well, Starbucks. I mean, so there's your...
But I don't understand what she's saying when she's saying it to me either.
Well, ask her to dummy it down for you.
It's a good idea. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, hey, Cat Nation, let's get off this basketball team. Bernie and I are going to tell you why when we come back. We'll be right back.
Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki.
Call me daddy.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
As you know, last couple of weeks, since the weather turned a little bit, I've been a bit disappointed in my little coffee shop I go to on Saturday mornings because of the fruit cup. It hasn't been there.
I was going to say.
It's been ruining my Saturday mornings a little bit. But I will say this, and I mean it with all, I'm excited, is that I went in today and I was going to buy a couple of bananas because normally they don't have this fruit cup last few weeks. And the guy at the desk goes, hey, Jeff, go over there, check this out. And there they are. They're back.
Hello.
And not only that are they back, they're bigger. You saw what I brought in
today. That thing was gargantuan.
I mean, that was like a pint glass size a fruit cup. So, hats off. And now I'm back in my good mood. At the Starbucks thing, I'm behind. I'm over with that now.
Yeah, but what day was the Starbucks
debacle? The Starbucks
debacle?
Thing was on maybe Wednesday or Tuesday or Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you're still...
No, I'm just saying, I write these, when things happen in my life and I'm thinking, boy, I could use a little help with this, I bring it to the public. I want people to help me if I have help, so I if I need it. So I want to make sure I remember to talk about it.
Your wife is an expert at ordering.
Expert. She speaks perfect Starbucks.
And you want help, but she was right there.
She wasn't there. I was by myself.
No. I mean to learn.
I asked her that stuff and she just laughs at me. I mean,
wow.
I need a book. I need to study. I mean, she's just like, come on, Jeff, give me a break.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
That's very surprising. She seems so nurturing and always wanting to help you. She asked for help. You asked for help, and she
was out.
The Heisman
she,
Trophy.
With a Starbucks, but she's like, come on. But I do know what she likes. She likes the non-fat caramel mochiaco or whatever that thing's called. But that's my whole point. Like, there's all these terms. Like, there's like no fat, high fat, low fat, with milk, skim milk, not with milk, with cream. What do you want? Some cinnamon on that? You want some caramel swirl on top
of
that?
They have the almond milk?
Probably. Okay. They have everything over there. If there's milk, they probably got goat milk there. I mean, they got it all there. I'm just telling you, it's crazy what happens in there.
I'm trying to hold back.
Please do, David. Please do. Please do. We're a family show.
Yeah, okay? Right.
Everything I say, you take down this road. But anyway. That's what I'm saying to you.
How you think families have started?
So I am completely, I am completely trying. I just want, you guys. Yeah, how do you expect me to keep like level headed and like be able to do this when it's this ridiculousness coming at me all the time? All the time.
I mean, I don't know if that was ridiculous. That was kind of funny.
It wasn't funny.
Okay.
It just took me completely off my momentum. Completely. All right, let's change this. Anyway, if there's anyone out there that can help me, and if there is an idiot's guide to shopping at Starbucks, I would like
ordering
to know.
At Starbucks.
Ordering at Starbucks, yes. Or shopping there, too. There's all kinds of things to buy there. I guess the thing about it is, and I'll end it with this, is that I'm just, it's like, I feel like I'm in people's way in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm in there, like, when they go there, they you know what it's like when you want something you know every day you go get? Like, people go there every day at the same time. They know what they want. I get it.
And they're like, hurry up.
Hurry up.
Let's
and, like,
go.
When I'm in there, I'm like, ooh, look at, there's a cake pop there. And, ooh, that's a cookie. Oh, they make egg sandwiches. That's me.
A beautiful muffin.
That's a nut. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, the point is that I need some help. But anyway.
Okay.
Last night, you texted me last night late. And you said, hey, man, we have got to talk about the UVM basketball team and some of the, you know, the Cat Nation out here giving them a hard time about yesterday.
Yeah, it was, you know, again, it wasn't a pretty win, but I'd rather win ugly than lose pretty.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just, it was really... really frustrating, you know, we should have taken care of that business you know, easier. We didn't play well. We're missing free throws. What's going on? I mean, it's just like, you know, and so I'm trying to figure out how we can put this into perspective.
Yeah.
They go to Kentucky, play a great game, but not a perfect game, and still have chances to win.
Had the ball, the tie.
Right. Yeah. Right. You know, and so that's Sunday. They got to get up Monday.
By the way, I don't. But what a great defensive play that was by Kentucky to be able to contest that 3-point. Because that was a heck of a play
but
coming
that's,
out.
That's being 6'11".
But recognizing that.
Yes.
Being able to recognize that.
Yep, the flare
screen. From a team that you're not, you don't know that well.
Yeah.
To be able to recognize that, that was a hell of a play.
Yeah, that was good defense. But to, you know, now you play that game Sunday. You got to get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning on Monday and fly back to Vermont. So you get home Monday, you know, around noon.
Yeah.
You're around Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
Trying to catch up on schoolwork that you're missing, doing all that kind of stuff. Then Thursday morning, you got to meet at the gym at 4:30 in the morning. To fly to the Bahamas.
Nice.
Which is nice, but...
So nice.
So now, you know...
Hang out with Didi.
Yeah, you're there, and you get there, but you're traveling all day, and now you got to play a game Friday at 11. You know, how often are you playing a game at 11 o'clock in the morning? Yes, you know, the America East Championship is there, but...
What time is it in the Bahamas at 11?
It's the same.
It's the same. It's all the same.
But it's also, you know, Bradley, you're supposed to win. You're the number one seed in this tournament. You are now, and yes, this is a bad analogy, but I'm going to say it. You are now Kentucky, and Bradley is Vermont. And they're coming after you like it's their big game. And you have to now, you're not the prey.
You're not the hunter.
Yeah. You know, they're coming after you.
You're the hunted.
And they struggled early, were not there. I don't think, in the whole way, but for people to say, oh, what a letdown, this is bad, all that kind of stuff. No, that was a really good win against a team that was better than we gave them credit for. And I just, you know, when are we going to make some free throws? And now we're getting nitpicky because we're spoiled.
Right.
And it's got to stop. We got to just encourage and appreciate this team. And I just, you know, today's game against Coastal Carolina. What's their nickname again? The Chanteliers?
No, it's not the Chanteliers.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I mean, come
on. I say that.
It's the Chanticleers.
Oh, okay. It's not a lamp. It's a bird?
No. Yep.
Okay.
Oh, it looks like a bird.
Okay.
Could be a bird lamp.
And it's going to be another battle.
Well, of course it's going to be a battle. And it should have been a battle with Bradley.
Right.
I mean, we're still talking about Bradley, and we're still talking about Vermont.
Right.
So any Cat fan out there that's freaking out because they can't because they're not blowing out Bradley... Come on. This is a great basketball team with great lineage, with great coaching, with great leadership, with great talent. And you're going to battle sometimes. You're not going to win every game like this. And I'm going to say this. This is college hoops. These are kids. I mean, and we have a great team here. I love the fact that they're number one in this tournament. They should be number one in this tournament. The fact that Vermont, I mean, you just compared Vermont to Kentucky against Bradley. How many years ago, not too long ago, if we beat Bradley? We'd be like, oh, we beat Bradley. This is unbelievable. And now we're going to play Coastal Carolina. We expect to beat Coastal Carolina, a team that's been in the tournament the last couple of years, a team that's got great athletes. I mean, this is going to be a battle for the Cats today.
It is. And then, you know, you got waiting for you tomorrow, the winner, hopefully, of Northern Kentucky and Iona, two NCAA tournament teams from last year as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, I am, and I'm looking forward to talking to Coach Ryan Schneider at 11:20. Yeah. Because I know he has the scout of Coastal Carolina, so we'll get a better feel for the matchup. I'm waiting for the one. Everything comes together. They didn't shoot the ball well. The Duncan brothers have struggled from behind the arc early in the season. Anthony Lamb played well, but has been inconsistent with the fouls. Trey Bell Haynes again. Fouls in the first half of the Kentucky game, struggling from the free throw line. I mean, how exciting is, you know, Drew Urquhart, Steph Smith, Peyton Henson? It's just it's been very, very exciting for what we have.
And how about this? How about UVM handling two huge Kentucky runs in that first matchup with Kentucky at Rupp Arena? in having the ball in a position to tie the game with seconds remaining in that thing, watching UVM players actually beating Kentucky players off the bounce and getting to the rim. How about UVM working hard on the offensive boards and actually earning? I mean, how about UVM being in that position to beat the fifth-ranked team in the nation? How about UVM getting in an airplane, flying to the Bahamas, playing in a game at 11 o'clock in the morning against Bradley, which is no pushover. They may not have the great lineage, but Bradley is a good basketball program with good athletes, and they find a way to get the job after not playing well in the first half. How about UVM playing poorly in the first half of both games, I would say, in terms of their talent, and still finding a way to come back against two quality opponents? Hey, Cat Nation, you have a great basketball team here that's going to do some special things. And we talked. There's nothing. One of the most difficult things to overcome is expectation. When you are a team like Vermont and you have all this expectation in the world and people think you're supposed to win every day, that's harder than sometimes playing those teams.
It is. And now, like, I guess my next thought process is, okay, is it going to be a disappointment? You know, and I've said it, and now that I've reflected, I said they had to win this tournament. You know, I've said that numerous times. And I think I have overstated myself. Like, the teams in this tournament are really good.
Yeah.
And Vermont, you know, they got to take care of business today.
Why do they have to win this tournament? No, they don't. They have to win
because,
their conference
because
tournament.
Of the word we mentioned earlier, the expectations.
But I mean, the expectations are not whether Vermont wins this tournament or not isn't going to determine where they go to the tournament. The NCAA, that's the most important thing to any fan here.
It is.
I mean, you want to win and you want to be recognized in the national level. Like, I think it was Jay Bills that put Vermont as the best mid-major in the country. I think that's what ESPN was saying. Somebody did at ESPN.
I think they're like top three.
One of the top. So you have all this expectation. I guess my point is that, yes, it'd be nice to win this tournament. I think it would be a nice feather in your cap to beat a team like Bradley and beat a team like Coastal Carolina and be able to put yourself in a position like that. But at the end of the day, all these games do is prepare you for your conference. And that's all that matters to these kids.
I'm not going to disagree with that, but I'm going to just go one step further.
Yeah.
From a seeding perspective. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You win this tournament, you get these three quality wins,
and
now you're fortunate enough to win your America East tournament. Big difference between being a 13 seed and a 15 seed, or a 12 and 11.
Sure.
You know, like last year, Vermont was a 12 seed because of their resume.
A resume that was because they were undefeated through. They didn't have a great preseason record. I mean, they didn't beat anybody in the preseason that you would deem as ooh.
True.
I mean, they lost all the games against their power conferences.
Right.
And they end up running the table, which we expect that we hope and we expect to see this season. But a win or two here could get them. I mean, are you telling me that if they were to win this tournament, let's say I don't have their schedule in front of me, but they were to win another game or two against the power conference. I mean, are you saying that if they did that with what they did against Kentucky, and if Kentucky ends up being what we think Kentucky's going to be, and they run rampshot through the America East, are you telling me this team potentially could be an 11 seed in the tournament?
If the chips fall the right way, yeah.
That'd be unbelievable.
I mean, you know, because their RPI is really good.
Yep.
And all of these games they're playing are going to be on the road. They got to go to Bucknell, who challenged North Carolina at North Carolina. They got to go to Marquette. They got to go to Richmond. You know, they got to go to a bunch of places. They got Northeastern is very good in the Colonial.
Yeah.
They have all these games, and they're all on the road. So if they win these games...
And they're good.
Who knows?
And they're good.
If they
win those games... And they do what we think they're going to do in the conference. This is a ranked team going into the NCAA tournament.
No.
Boy, that'd be great.
It would be, but I don't know. But I hope they can. And you know, again, it's just it's crazy. You know that this is what we're talking about and how far this program has come.
It really has. I mean, even from the days of Coach, you know, with Kalpenrath, and I mean, those were great teams and great stories. This team is legit.
Think about it. With Coach Sorrentine and Kalpenrath, last possession at UCLA almost won. Last possession at Kansas almost won. This team almost won
That's right.
And almost at Kentucky. I mean,
but don't you think the sense, and I know we have to take a quick break here, but the sense back then was like, what a great story. Wow, this is unbelievable. Now the expectations, come on, Cats.
Yeah.
Get yourself in a position.
What are we going to get?
Let's get this thing done. All right. We're going to change positions here. We come back. We're going to be talking hockey with the women's hockey coach from UVM, Jim Plumer. You guys are gross. We'll be right back.
Jeff Paul, Your team sucks.
You want to try that again?
No, maybe got the
point. Maybe later.
Yeah, I'll try that again later. That was very Dave Hunter of me.
Bernie Siplicki. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
I got to tell you, there's nothing better right now than UVM sports, in my opinion, in terms of what's happening overall. I know that the men's hockey team isn't playing at where we expect them to be right now, but we see where the basketball team are, the soccer program, what they've been able to do. We know what the ski team does. I get on the list of how talented they are. And a program that's on the rise and you want to pay attention to, Bern, is the UVM women's hockey team. I mean, that is a program that has been completely turned around by our good buddy here, head coach Jim Plumer, who joins us now in the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Good morning, Coach. How you doing today, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well, thanks, Coach.
It's great to talk to you this morning. Tough one last night. We'll get into that in a second. But I got to say, Coach, what you've been able to do with this program as quickly as you have, you've got to be very proud of it.
Well, thanks. I was hoping that I would have a little more positive vibes from last night when we scheduled this interview, but I do appreciate it, and you know, it never comes fast enough, but the progress is steady but slow.
All right, Coach. So, like last weekend, Clarkson, great weekend out there. The defending national champions, you go out there and take care of business. Talk about what the locker room was like after a win like that.
Yeah, it was a big thrill. Definitely one of the top two or three games since I've been here, and I think, you know, we've been talking about putting it all together, and that when we play our kind of game and play our best, that we can play with anybody, and that was a great example of it, and it really was exhilarating. On the flip side of it, though, honestly, when in hockey's you know, maybe a different game than some others, or you guys are talking a lot about basketball where there's so many you know, up and down the courts, and you know, you give up a few easy goals and you dig yourself a hole in hockey, and it's hard to dig out of that, and when you play like that, it's hard to beat anybody. So you know, you kind of go from the highs of last weekend to a bit of a slap back to reality last night.
Well, Coach, you know, and you talk about getting back into reality after a tough one last night, after a sensational weekend the weekend before. What are some things, you know, as we move from, you know, we get back at it today, what do we have to improve upon to get back into it and take care of business?
You know, it's really simple, to be honest. It's two main things. It's taking care of the puck, and sometimes we get a little too fancy and we're trying to do a little too much, and we turn the puck over when we can make simple plays, and we got to be tougher in front of our own net. We gave up a lot of pretty soft goals last night, I would say, by, you know, not picking people up in front, letting people get a good clean whack at it around our goal, and you know, those are things that we harp on all the time, and you know, I don't think there's my 84 year old mother. I don't want to make her older than she seems. I watched the game last weekend and kind of nailed it. And she's not exactly Doc Emmerich in terms of her hockey knowledge out there. So, you know, we constantly preach trying to do the little things well. I don't think this is, you know, that different than coaching any other sport, right? In basketball, if you don't box out, you're not going to get rebounds. And you know, it's a kind of a similar concept in hockey. Only, you know, there's a lot fewer goals than there are baskets in a game. And you know, so we gotta go back to basics.
So, Coach, now who in the locker room do you need to step up after you know, a tough night last night? And who is that person or people that you need to lean on to help, you know, get everybody back into the mindset of, all right, we got to flush this one and move on and get better today? Who are those leaders in your locker room?
Well, the clear leader really is Taylor Willard, who's our captain, who's a senior, been a Hockey East All-Star for the last 2 years, defenseman, really has the ability to calm a game down. We missed her. She got hurt our last exhibition game, missed our first two games, and that was a big hole for us to fill, you know, literally and figuratively. Last week in that Clarkson win, she played 29 minutes, which is just about half the game. So for anyone to play that much in a hockey game that's not a goalie is an extraordinary feat. So, you know, to be honest, we started after the second period, and I will say that we played a good third period. We outshot them 16-7, I think. We had many, many more quality scoring chances. So, you know, really our focus after two, being down 7-1 after two, was let's get better. Let's be ready for tomorrow. You know, that was really where we flipped the switch. And if we had been able to throw a few in and get back into it then, that would have been great. But really our mindset was let's get better in this 20 minutes and, you know, we get a big game tomorrow. And but Taylor's a kid that really can take control of a game. And, of course, at the other end of it, we've got Evadri Picard, who's a sophomore forward, who has been a streaky scorer. And right now she hasn't hit the back of the net for a while. But, she also scored 4 goals in a game earlier this year. So, it'd be nice to get her going.
We are talking to head coach of the women's hockey team at UVM, Jim Plumer, here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN with Jeff and Bernie. Jim, let me ask this question. I talk to you often. I see you often throughout the year, and we always talk about you building this program. Talk about the challenges that you've had so far with this, but you are now reaping the benefit of your hard work because, it's, truth be told, I mean, I know, take last night out of the picture, your program is coming.
Yeah, well, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate that. We're paying the price for some of my inexperience coming into Division I. I think we might have talked a little bit about this last year.
Yeah.
In recruiting, in sort of being able to make some of the adjustments that are required at this level culturally. We've worked really hard over the last couple of years to identify the kind of kids that would thrive in the environment that we're trying to create here. And so, we're not like a pro football or baseball or any pro team where you just say, okay, hey, we're gonna trade away a bunch of people or we're gonna cut a bunch of people. And I feel like this team right here this year is really the beginning of the group that's really bought into what we're doing. There was a 4-year process of working through people that had been recruited by past coaches. I think a learning curve for me that is starting to pay off. But, this I really like this group, in terms of their ability to grasp what we're doing tactically as well as culturally. But we're young. We've got, we've got 7 freshmen and two freshman assistant coaches. So, although they're experienced assistant coaches, but they're new to the program. And we've had inconsistencies this year. We've had some real highlights. We beat UConn early in the year without Willard, which honestly was a great accomplishment. And then a sweep of Merrimack, and then obviously the win against Clarkson shows what our potential is. But since we're teachers here, let me put it to you in a school context. If you're taking a class and you get an A on the first test, you say, hey, this is great. I can get an A. I can do the work. I know what I'm capable of. If you get a C on the next test, now your grade's a B, and you say, but I got an A, and I know I can do the A work. But you're not the A anymore. And then if you get another C, you're down to a B minus, and you say, but I know I can do it. I know I can get the A. I did it. And that's where we are. We're trying to be the A team. We're trying to bring our A game. We're trying to execute at a high level on a regular basis. And it's, it's frustrating for all of us when we don't do it. But when you step back and look at it, I do feel like we're making strides overall. And obviously the capability to beat the defending national champ, a team that's capable of winning it again, obviously shows what we can do.
Coach, you talked about recruiting and this group that's starting to buy in and stuff like that. When you're on the road recruiting and trying to find that fit for your program, how and what are some of the things that you look at to measure, like intangibles in terms of competitiveness and those type of things that, once you get to know a kid, you kind of figure out that you, when they're part of the program versus someone that, oh, geez, I thought they were more competitive than that, if you understand what I'm trying to ask.
No, I understand exactly what you're saying, and this was really like light bulb time went off for me a couple of years ago, where I really said, what are the 4 or 5 things that we have to know about kids beyond what we watch on the ice? And it really comes down to a couple things. One is talking to their coaches, asking questions of people that know them. Have they been in situations where they've had to show resilience? That's a big thing for us. Can they bounce back from a bad shift, from a bad game, from a bad goal if they're a goalie? Are they curious? Do they have a growth mindset? Do they want to learn? Are they willing to do more? Are they willing to come down and work outside of practice time on their game? Watch video, all those kinds of things. So there's four or five things that we really identified, and really it comes down to maybe asking some more pointed questions when they're sitting in the office, but a lot of it has to do with talking to their coaches and then deciding if you believe their coaches.
Coach, we got about a minute left. Big game tonight, a rematch now with Boston U tonight, but there's a lot of games coming up this season. Tell the fans when they should come, and you know, you got all these things happening.
Yeah, big things brewing here. We've been on the road a lot, but we've got a rematch with BU today at 4. But next weekend we host our fourth annual Windjammer Classic, which is we have one team from each league of the four Division I women's leagues. We've got Colgate, which is ranked third in the country, coming from the ECAC. We have RIT coming from the College Hockey American. We have Minnesota Duluth, which was an NCAA team last year, coming from the WCHA. We play RIT Friday at 7. Winners play Saturday at 7. So we'd love to get some people in here to watch some great hockey from all over the country.
Coach Jim Plumer, good luck tonight. We can't wait for next weekend, and we'll have you on again down the road. Sound good?
All right. Thanks, guys. We didn't get to talk any golf, though.
Well, if you've seen Bernie swing, that's probably good that we didn't.
Yeah. Charles Barkley-esque.
Yeah. Very. Charles right. Barkley is like Tiger Woods compared to your swing. Thanks, right, Coach. Dude. Have a great luck tonight, buddy.
Thanks,
Jim Plumer,
bye.
Awesome guy. Let me just tell you, I he lives in my neighborhood. We happen to be walking our dogs together at the same time, and I met him about 2 years ago. Quality guy, amazing guy, great motivator, and UVM's lucky to have him. And the program really is coming.
It is, and again, everybody that I've spoken to says nothing but the high praises for Coach, and you can tell just his sincerity as he's talking to us about his program and his honesty, and it's an exciting time for that program. And so if you got the chance this afternoon or next week, get out there and check out some hockey.
Yeah, do it. Do it, too. He's a great guy, great coach, great motivator, and the team's really coming along. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, I've got a public service announcement for everybody.
Again?
Yeah, something big's happening next week. I think everybody needs to know, and I want to protect.
Yes, Thanksgiving.
I want to protect men like you and I, Bernie. I'm here for you. We'll be right back.
Why don't you get a toupee with some brains in it?
Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki.
Party all the time, party all the time.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
So as usual, I tell you whenever I can help my fellow man, I'm here for you. And I'm here for you, Bern. I'm here for you, Dave.
Okay.
Okay, now we all know that a great holiday is coming Thursday.
Yes.
Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Great day of eating, being with family and friends.
But the Giants play at 8:30, so it's going to be ruined.
Who cares about the Giants? I forgot that they even play.
Stop it.
But
a Hall of Fame quarterback going to waste. But anyways, please finish your announcement.
But.
Fair weather fan, you.
But there's also, boy, you guys see, I'll go off on you both in a minute. But my public service announcement is Thursday night and going into Friday is what they call Black Friday. And I made the mistake of going out shopping on Black Friday with my wife one time.
Yeah, you were in the wrong line, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. First of all, nothing is right. So the long story short is that we came home from Thanksgiving one year and Walmart was open and Monica wanted to buy something there that was on sale there. So she asked me if I would go. And first of all, if you're going to go, I would listen, you know me. I'm a capitalist, baby. Like, I go spend money, great for the economy. Go get them. But if you go to a Black Friday event, whether it be at 2 o'clock in the morning, whether it be Thanksgiving night, whether it be any time that they're doing some certain sale that you have to be there for, bring someone with experience. Bring someone with you that knows what's happening in these stores.
Kind of like going to Starbucks?
A lot like that. A lot like that. But what I'm saying is you go into these stores on these Black Friday deals, and it's not the normal way. It's like you've got into some foreign country that you don't understand anything, that there's no, you can't deal with anything. You don't know the rules. You don't know what way to drive on the road. You don't know where you go, where you turn. The things that you normally get in one aisle, you don't get there anymore, Bernie. And not only that, you shouldn't stand there because you'll get trampled. Go with someone with experience or like me,
Shop online.
Shop online. Or don't, now you don't say that because you want people to get out. Tis the season to get out in the, get out there.
Tis the season to be jolly, bring, but everybody's grumpy.
Bring someone with you that knows what they're doing. For example, if you go someplace you don't know, you're visiting some other country or some other city, you don't know where you're going, it always helps to have someone that knows where they're going with you. Same thing goes for Black Friday. Do not go alone. I'm just telling you. Bring someone that knows what they're doing. Don't bring my wife, because she knows what she's doing, but she leaves you. She strands you. She leaves you there all by yourself.
Kind of like Starbucks again.
A lot like Starbucks again. All right. There you go, folks. There's your public service announcement.
So should you and I go out on Black Friday together?
No, that would be no. It's dangerous. Unless we don't go shopping.
But sometimes danger is fun.
No, not this kind of danger. It's no fun.
Okay.
Imagine being in the middle of the Sahara, and there's one water hole.
Yeah.
And every animal in the woods are running towards that hole with you standing
in
the way.
There's no woods in the Sahara.
Pretend you're in the Sahara where there's a lot of desert.
Okay.
And there's one water hole.
Uh-huh.
And you're standing right in the middle of that water hole, and the water hole's not very big.
Right.
They all come a-running.
Uh-huh.
You need to be out. You don't know where to go. You're panicking. You don't know where to stand. You get trampled. That's Black Friday at some of these stores. These people are machines. Don't care about life or limb. They don't care about you, Bernie.
They care about SportsCenter.
They care about Dave SportsCenter. Here it is.
The only full-time FM sports station in Vermont. WCPV. Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh. 101.3 ESPN.
This hour's SportsCenter is not being brought to you by ESOX, 194 Main Street across from the Divorce Court in Burlington. That way, I don't have to pay for it. Trabell Haynes made a game-winning free throw with 2.6 seconds left on the clock and gave the Vermont Catamounts a 65-64 victory yesterday in the opening round of the Islands of Bahamas Showcase. The Cats had four players scoring in double digits with Seth Smith and Bell Haynes leading away with 14 each. The Cats move to play Coastal Carolina tonight. Tip-off set for 5 o'clock. You can hear all the action right here on 101.3 ESPN. Alex Esposito scored his first collegiate goal, which gave the UVM men's hockey team a 1-0 lead through two periods, but 12th-ranked Northeastern clawed back with two goals in the third period to win the Hockey East matchup 2-1 last night at Matthews Arena. The loss dropped the Cats to 3-8-1 overall and 1-4-1 in Hockey East play. Cats return home Tuesday to face the UConn Huskies at the Gut. Puck drops Tuesday night. Matchup set for 7:05. In other scores last night, UVM women's basketball team Hannah Krimble had a double-double, which included 13 boards and a career-high 37 points, leading the Lady Cats to an 88-65 win over Howard last night at Patrick Gym. The Cats are back on the court tomorrow at 2 o'clock as they welcome the Columbia Lions to Burlington. And last night, the UVM women's hockey team fell to Boston University 7-1 at the Gut. The loss dropped the Cats to 5-8-1 overall and 3-5-1 in Hockey East play. The Cats and Terriers are at it again this afternoon. Puck drop at 4 o'clock at the Gutterson Fieldhouse. Hour number two is Sports Saturday on the way. I'm David Hunter, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com.
Phone call. Monica from Williston.
I don't think I could have married Don Hoffman. And would it hurt for you to say that you love me once in a while?
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
That's my wife right there. She wants to get out and it's great. Good morning. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I can't believe how fast that hour went by.
It was quick.
Seriously.
Yeah.
That was a quick hour.
Good.
Time flies when you're having fun. You're not kidding. Hey, listen.
David.
Jake
what?
Kent.
Not a quick hour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jake Kent is en route. We're going to have him on here at 11:05. So get your questions ready for our fantasy football guru, Jake Kent. He's going to join us in about 2 minutes, I believe. You can text us to the text line at 802-655-6672, or you can call us at the same number, 802-655-6672. Get those questions ready for fantasy football. And listen, I can't believe I'm saying this, but we're getting close to fantasy football playoffs, Mern.
I know. It's crazy how, we're on week 11. And
we are.
It's nuts.
And let me just say this. I have officially taken over first place in my league. After starting the season, and Jake hasn't helped me once.
Please.
I haven't asked for any help this year from Jake. I've learned over the years from Jake Kent. But this year, and just for the record, let's just kind of go over this for a minute. I started the season out at 1-5.
Uh-huh.
I am now 5-5.
And you're in first place.
I am.
That's a very balancedly awful league.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm in first place. That's
Are
the
you
point.
Tied with somebody at 5-5?
Nope. I'm one game up on someone.
And everybody else is like 4-6 or 3-7.
Well, that's the way it would work, Mark.
Yeah, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly. So I am in great position.
How many people in this league?
There's 8 teams in this league. There's 2 divisions of 4, I believe. And I'm leading my division, Bernie. How about that?
And what's the other division? What's the league?
The other division, I think, is like 7-2 or something.
So you're really not in first place in the league.
I'm in first place in my division. I just got to get in.
Nah.
Right, you think I should have like included that in my sports center?
No. Well, maybe next week if I win again. Right. It'll be a lot of... I'm rolling. All right, let's get right to it. Jake is on the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Get your calls and your texts ready here at 802-655-6672. It's fantasy football time with Jake Kent. Good morning, Jake.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Oh,
good.
We're doing
how
great.
You doing, bud?
We're doing great.
Yeah, you know, five and five this year, not bad at all. I'm in second at 6-4 in my local league with my group of guys. You know, if you're in a competitive league, there's not too many teams with more than 6 wins right now. You might be at 7 if you're lucky. If you have a low points against, you might have 7 wins. But generally, just about everywhere I've seen, I have about 6 wins.
Thank you very much, Jake.
Yeah.
And more importantly, it's not about my win total. It's where I've come from. I didn't quit.
That's exactly right.
I didn't Ben McAdoo this team. I Jeff Pauled this team.
That's right. Please.
Okay, I got it done.
President of football operations.
I figured it out. The right matchups, the right moments, and my team.
In all 3 phases. That's
and my
right.
team gets it done. Last week, you know what? I won last week 128-127.
There you go.
And when I thought I was, I stopped looking at it because I figured I was going to lose. And then I looked at it, I was like, oh my God, I just won. It was less than, it was like 128.4 to 127.8 or something.
I don't know if you do decimal scoring in your league.
We had one game
this year that came down to a 0.10. That's the closest I've seen. So
we go 2 decimals and we had a tie.
Really?
Wow.
It was
so
crazy.
Rare.
That is crazy.
So
I don't think I've ever heard
that's
of that.
Crazy rare.
No, that's pretty.
We had 1 year, two years ago, I think it was. We managed to have 3 ties, but it's the only time I've ever seen 1. So, yeah, it doesn't happen much.
Well, the good news is I'm in first place. That's all that should matter anyway.
That's all
right,
all
Jake, let's get it. Okay, who are the must pickups this year? This week.
We can talk about this year.
Yeah,
So we're gonna go back. We're gonna go back at running back. We're going back to a place we talked about last week, and that's Rod Smith with the Cowboys, right? So last week we talked a lot about how I was projecting him to be the pass catching back. Now that Zeke is finally, I guess, suspended. It's official, guys. He actually missed a game, and he is actually suspended. So barring something crazy, I think we're good to move forward. They were trailing last week, 38 snaps for Rod Smith. Alfred Morris did not see a target, did not get on the field much at all once they were trailing. So Rod Smith is the guy. The Eagles are giving up over 6 catches a game to running back, so especially if you play in a PPR league, Rod Smith is a guy who probably good for 6 or 7 catches this week. If he gets into the end zone, you're even happier. But at running back, Rod Smith is the guy. At receiver, there's really some good options out there this week. I think you can look at Bruce Ellington in Houston. Will Fuller is going to be out. You can look at the Jacksonville receivers. I think they're finally going to activate D.D. Westbrook, who you guys asked about a couple weeks ago. I think they're finally going to activate D.D. Westbrook this week with Allen Earns out. But I kind of like Keelan Cole there almost better than D.D. Westbrook. He's had several targets over the last few weeks. He's looked really good on tape. So Keelan Cole and or D.D. Westbrook in Jacksonville could be a receiver you could pick up. Probably the receiver pickup of the week, though, is Bruce Ellington for the Texans. 17 targets the last couple weeks. They clearly are keying on him. Now that they have some injuries going on with Will Fuller, Tom Savage seems to really like him. So Bruce Ellington, probably the big pickup of the week.
Kelvin Benjamin gets traded to Buffalo. He was he had the most targets last week in a very bad loss for the Bills. And now there's going to be a new quarterback starting this week out west playing the Chargers. Is he a good start this week?
We've talked about him a lot this year, even before the trade. And as I always say, I'm not a big Kelvin Benjamin guy. He doesn't do a lot for me on the field. I don't really love his playing style. He's going to see some targets, and if you have him, more than likely you're going to have to play him, but I'm not that excited about it overall. So if you have other options that are reasonable, that are close in terms of the way you evaluate, you know, potential performance, I'm probably going anywhere else I can. But he's going to see targets, right? Especially with a new quarterback, I have to imagine that that's the guy they're going to look at. Especially if you're a young QB, I imagine... If you think you're going to go down with the ship, you might as well just keep throwing the ball to Kelvin Benjamin. He'll probably see enough targets to be valuable, but I don't obviously see him with a big ceiling.
So if you have a PPR league and you got to play 2 of the 3, Benjamin, Mohamed Sanu, or Cooper Kupp, which way do you go?
Oh, tough matchups this week. So LA has been just red hot, but they don't have a great matchup this week. Mohamed Sanu, I'm probably playing in that case, and I'm probably playing Kelvin Benjamin. So I'm probably going to sit in that case, Cooper Kupp. Robert Woods is the number one guy out there. As we talked about last week, again, he again paid it off for us, which is fantastic. So I think that those are the two I would start, and I'd probably sit Cooper Kupp in this case.
So how about in a flex position, the tight end from PPR league, the tight end Cook, or the guy you mentioned, Ellington?
Bruce Ellington, not a tight end.
Oh, no, but it's a flex spot.
Yeah, I would definitely start Bruce Ellington in that case. I don't mind starting tight ends in the flex where it's allowed. They don't typically have a high enough ceiling to really pay it off. If you are in a matchup where you feel like you just do not need more than 5 or 6 points and you're going to go home happy, then you can play a tight end for the safety, for the floor. But if you're looking at a close matchup, if you need some upside, it's definitely Ellington.
Can I just say that I'm so disappointed with Le'Veon Bell this year, fantasy-wise?
Yeah, tough year for him. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Pittsburgh blows up the other day, and he only brought in 14 points. I mean, it's just disappointing.
Yeah, he's certainly not been the guy that people thought he might be. You know, you look at historically, guys who hold out for long portions of time tend to have these kinds of seasons. It could be completely coincidental, but at some point there's been enough examples where you look at guys who hold out, and I don't know if it's lack of interest. I don't know if it's just originally the team was sort of the first game especially really withheld from him carries, you know, I think to make their point. So there's been some things going on. That offense really hasn't triggered at all till the other night, and lo and behold, the way they did it was they finally said Antonio Brown the ball, who has just been, I mean, he's been by far the number one player in the league this year for fantasy, again, for just however many consecutive years in a row now. I have a buddy who refuses to draft or play Le'Veon Bell in any fantasy format at all. It all stems from a Snapchat story video that he watched going back a few weeks. And in the video, it's late night, and Le'Veon Bell, of all things, is talking about how he wishes he could be a professional lacrosse player, or maybe he'll start up in tennis. He always enjoyed tennis. And the guy's like, what is the deal with this kid? He's supposed to be the number one back in the league, and he's talking about how he'd rather be a professional lacrosse player. I'm out on him until he changes, you know, until he improves. And it's kind of proven to be right.
Who are you starting at quarterback this week, Matt Ryan or Matt Stafford?
Oh, you know, people are down a little bit this week on Matt Ryan, and I know he's had, last year he was so good that people weren't really geared up for his regression, which it just makes sense mathematically that he couldn't sustain that kind of production, especially with Shanahan leaving town. It's pretty close. I'm going to start Stafford. Yeah, probably slightly better matchup for Matt Ryan, but yeah, I'm going to start Stafford. It's going to be close, though. I'm really happy with either one.
Amari Cooper's had one game this season where, you know, he seemed like he was worth the draft, but he's playing the Patriots secondary this week. What do you think?
Yeah, fire him up. I mean, this is, if you're going to do it, I mean, they've been improved in the passing game, certainly, but I still think that defense is very questionable. I think they've gotten away with murder the last few weeks. I'm happy to fire him up. In fact, if you play DraftKings, that type of thing, I actually like the idea of starting a Derek Carr, either Crabtree or Cooper combo. A lot of people are going to be off of them just because, as you said, it's been a down year, but I do think the potential is there this week.
Who are you playing at running back out of Washington this week for the Redskins?
Yeah, Samaje Perine probably. I don't love the situation, obviously. I think that Perine's probably the guy that I want ultimately. You know, Rob Kelly out now, I think, permanent. I think they put him on the IR. You know, so he's kind of out of the picture. Chris Thompson's been great, but he's probably owned anywhere, any PPR league. I can't imagine he's not already owned. If you have Chris Thompson, I can't imagine that you'd start Samaje Perine over him. But if you're looking for a guy who could be productive this week, certainly Perine can be that guy. It's a good matchup. New Orleans been much better defensively than they have been the last few years. But overall, I think they're still pretty vulnerable to pass catching backs. Samaje Perine can certainly catch the pass. They're going to use Thompson in that role primarily, but I think both are startable this week.
Yawn from Underhill.
Yawn from Underhill. What's happening, pal?
Hey, Jake, I got two for you real quick. So if you're going to draft a world leader, do you go Mugabe from Nigeria or do you go Kim Jong-un from North Korea?
It's Kim Jong-un. Yeah, it's certainly him. He is out of control. Yep.
Okay, and my second one, if you're going to draft a, if you're going to take a Christmas movie this weekend, do you go Scrooged or do you go Christmas Vacation?
Oh, that's an easy one.
Oh, yeah, Jess can answer this one.
Come
number
on, Jan.
Overall, not even close. It's not close.
You are
say.
Much
it's
wittier than bringing Scrooged out against Christmas Vacation. Come on now.
I'm telling you, Scrooged
Come
is
on.
Underappreciated. Bill Murray's a craftsman. He gets it done in the red zone.
There's a value
Scrooged.
There. There's a. You're right. There's a value there, but it's
no, he's
the
not right.
Overall. You
he's
can't
not right.
Look.
That's a horrible. That is a horrible. You. That is
there's
like
there's a value there, but you can't overlook. You can't overlook. Christmas
that's a 16 versus a one seed.
Wet,
that's
Todd?
A 16 versus a one.
I don't know, Margo.
Hey, thank you very much, Jan. Thanks for the call, buddy. We always love when you call, Jan.
Yeah.
Good questions, but I'm telling you right now, there's no way that Scrooged is anywhere near Christmas Vacation.
It's
no, a 16
it's
and one
vacation.
Seed.
It's not
come
close.
On,
yeah,
come
it's
on.
Not close.
You can play Scrooge. Yeah. You can do like Scrooged versus like. I don't even know what you do. I'm trying to think of some other average Christmas movie that's out there, even though I do love Bill Murray, but that movie is not good. Not good.
I'm not a huge fan of that movie either. Yeah, I would sort of put it on par with like maybe like Christmas with the Cranks, a Tim Allen movie. Not
yeah, there you
the
go.
Santa
we'll
Claus
do that. There you go.
Movie,
there you go.
But watchable.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Watchable.
Well, yeah, you know, you come across it on TNT, you watch for a half an hour, and then you go make a sandwich.
Yeah,
I get
exactly.
it. Exactly. All right, Jake, we only have a couple minutes left. How do people follow you throughout the year?
Yeah, find me on Twitter, at JakeKentVT. Always feel free to send over your questions. Happy to answer them anytime. Been crushing some NHL fantasy lately, so if you have questions on that, maybe I'll get a answer a few of those questions too. So.
Jake, always a pleasure, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jake.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too, buddy. Dave, cut you off at the last minute. So happy Thanksgiving to you and your beautiful family, buddy. This will be his daughter's first Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Yeah, really exciting stuff. That's great stuff. So we want to appreciate Jake, obviously.
The cream of turkey.
Anyway, so let's get into this for a second. Interesting games this week, and I think that Patriots game against the Raiders. Boy, when that came out on the schedule beginning of the season, everybody circled that one. And I had some Raider fans of mine that were incredibly upset because the game is in Mexico City, and they thought that was because it was going to be a Raiders home game, and that they were losing a home game, and New England got to play them in Mexico City. So interesting game for them this week. I think the Pats and the Raiders this week. But boy, going into the season, we expected the Raiders to be at par with the Patriots at best. Don't you agree with that, Bern?
Yes, I would agree with that. And, you know, I think maybe the Raiders are rounding into form a little bit, getting healthy, starting to play, and should be an entertaining ball game.
Yeah.
And if they can beat the Patriots, I'll be really happy.
I'll tell you what won't be an entertaining ball game.
It's the Chiefs and the Giants, baby.
That's going to be depressing.
Why? Because the Giants are going to come together. We've had
a
meeting, I believe,
man.
They
had that meeting. They had that meeting. That'll be. I don't want them to win anymore.
Why? You want Sam Donald?
I want somebody else. Yes. I want the best draft pick you can get now. I don't want them to.
Dave Hunter?
Yeah. If Dave Hunter can get us to the playoffs, fine. I can't believe we're even talking to the Giants. We have to, like, we're so far down the road with the Giants.
No. We have to
They're
stay
so
loyal
bad.
And true. No. Yeah.
I am loyal and true, but I'm being
no,
realistic. Yes, I am 100% loyal
I
and true.
I will say this. The best thing about going to Rupp last week.
Yeah. A lot of blue.
I didn't watch 1 second of the
good
Giants
for you.
Game.
Good for you. Because it wasn't much to watch. It's embarrassing. That team is just atrocious.
Viva La Rojas, missing field goals.
I thought he was going to be so good. I thought he'd be like the... Remember when Matt Prater came out and he was like out of nowhere? He was like the... I thought this kid got the guns going and he's missing 30-yard field goals. And the Giant defense has given up
70,000 points.
70,000 points to teams that couldn't beat St. Johnsbury High School.
Oh, St. Johnsbury High School?
Yeah, the Division I
State
Division
I State Champs, pal. That's a good football team right there. And much better coach than the Giants, I can tell you that. All
but
right.
It's still Eli's fault, right, Jeff?
Eli's
Most
fault.
Usually.
Yeah.
Usually is. I don't know if you happen to notice that stellar athletic play he had when they were about to score and just kind of fell down and fumbled the ball 15 yards forward. Another great Eli play.
Remember,
another great
I didn't
Eli
watch play.
Play
last week.
And you are lucky you didn't. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to the assistant men's basketball coach, Ryan Schneider, of the University of Vermont men's basketball team. Don't go anywhere.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley.
You know the way you guys do about my head, whatever, you know? And so...
What about you?
You bald?
It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Hey, Bernie, you know where it's not 34 degrees?
I'm going to guess the Bahamas.
It's the Bahamas. And our next guest is probably sitting up with a nice cold drink in his hand, you know, relaxing by the pool with Didi Gregorius. And that's UVM assistant men's basketball coach Ryan Schneider. Good morning, Ryan. Thanks for joining the show, buddy.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good.
Very,
good,
very
buddy.
Good. So before we get into the basketball side of things, I mean, how are the Bahamas?
The Bahamas are good, man. The one downside about these tournaments, though, is that you don't get to enjoy it a ton as a coach. Yesterday after the game, as the fellas were enjoying being by the pool and hanging out in the ocean, I was in a gym scouting Coastal Carolina and UT San Antonio.
Okay, wait a minute. Well, you need to switch with Coach Siplicki, because Coach Siplicki was drinking Mai Tais with D.D. Gregorius, from what I understand.
He sure was.
Yeah,
sure was.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's very fair.
Hey, if it was Syndergaard, I would have had the first scout, and I'd be hanging with four last night.
All right, Ryan, listen, it's been an interesting ride for this basketball team. We've talked to Coach Becker a couple times on the show. We've talked to Coach Siplicki about this, and obviously talking to Bernie. But what a special basketball team you have here. Before we get into what's happening in the Bahamas, which is obviously very exciting, let's talk about last week in Kentucky. What kind of weekend was that for you guys?
It was exciting. You know, I think our guys, certainly coming off of last year and with some of the press and the publicity surrounding our team going into the Kentucky matchup, I think our guys were excited and pretty well prepared to play. With that being said, I think, you know, we've gotten to the point as a program, whether it be good or a good thing or a bad thing, that, you know, our expectations are to play a full 40 minutes and certainly be in a position to win at the end of the game. And we were in that position, but we didn't ultimately make enough shots when we needed to seal the deal. So I think it was a great learning experience, but with this group, they've been in a lot of close games now against really good teams, and it'd be nice to pull one of those out. I think it'd be a nice next step for this group.
Ryan, I guess my next question is two-part. Number one, you've played in this program before you were a coach. You've been here through the really good years. You played on some really good basketball teams. So my first question is, can you compare this team now with some of those championship teams you played on? And secondly, give us the mood of the locker room after that game, because I think from a lot of Vermont fans' perspectives, they were thinking, "Oh, we're just feeling good because we just competed with the fifth-ranked team in the country in their building." But what was the attitude like after that game was over?
It's a good question, Jeff. I think there was certainly, you know, as a staff, you're certainly proud of the effort and proud of the way that our guys battled. Especially, you know, there were a couple of almost inflection points during the game where Kentucky could have ran away with it, and we not only battled but put ourselves in the position to win. So I think as a group we were proud about that. I think the guys, honestly, when we went in there, they were disappointed. I mean, they had a chance to really do something special, and when you look back at the game over the course of 40 minutes, there were certainly a lot of things that we could have done better, and had we executed on a little bit of a higher level, we probably would be having even a different conversation at this point. So it's good, and you know, it's good and bad. You know, the good part is that we see sort of our potential of being able to compete at that level. But for those guys, they want to win, and those kids are competitive kids. And for them, I think they were proud of their effort, but not satisfied with the result.
So, Coach, you know, you grinded out a good win yesterday. Congratulations on that. Wasn't easy for sure. Just kind of recap for us that first victory against Bradley.
Sure, yeah. I think that the biggest thing, as you guys would know, is, you know, the Missouri Valley Conference produces hard nosed, tough, defensive minded teams, and I think when you're playing 11 a.m. off your third 4:30 a.m. wake up in 6 days, it's going to take a little while to wake up and appreciate how hard we have to be able to play over a 40-minute stretch, and I thought we were really sluggish for the duration yesterday. We had a couple of big performances off the bench. Steph Smith and Drew Markhardt played awesome in their time, and I think it's a true testament to this group that, despite probably playing a C, maybe even a C-minus level game for 40 minutes, we're able to find a way to grind it out against a pretty tough team, and I think that's. There were some great lessons to take away from yesterday, and I know the guys are fired up after getting some rest and some sunshine to lock and load this afternoon at 5 o'clock.
Ryan, I mean, are you excited? I mean, again, my other – it was kind of a long question, but I'll ask it again because I think it's going to be interesting for our listeners. You played on some amazing teams here at UVM, and now you're coaching. You've been in the program for a long time. I feel like being a fan of the UVM basketball program, as I have for a long time, you know, when you guys beat some of these powerhouse teams in the past, it was just – unbelievable feeling, like, wow, you wouldn't have been upset if you lost the game, but you're really proud of that, the fact that you won and how competitive you were. With this team and the fan base now, Bernie and I were talking in the first segment, there's real expectation to win now. I mean, have you seen kind of a program like what you guys have gone from being kind of a low mid-major to one of the most respected mid-majors in the country, and you've been a part of that the whole way. Talk about that ride to what it was like when you were playing there to what it's like to coach these kids now.
It's a great point, and I think you know the amazing part of it, and we're fortunate enough to have Coach Brennan as involved in the program as he's been, you know, since he retired. But you know, I was fortunate enough to be on that team that beat Syracuse, and right. I think you know we really you know we shocked the world. You know, it was such an upset, and you know, I don't think anybody would have really expected that win to happen. But like you said, Jeff, I think that is. That mindset has changed in terms of what the expectation is for the program and internally what the expectation is. Now, I would say, you know, knowing the group of guys that were in that locker room when we beat Syracuse, you know, some 12 or 13 years ago now, that those guys thought we could win. You know, we expected that hey, if we played well for 40 or want to be in 45 minutes, we could want to beat Syracuse. But I think now, you know, the difference – as this program has evolved, is that our guys really expect to win every night against just about any opponent. And that's and not only that, to your point, Jeff, I think the fan base, with that has come greater expectations, where the fan base is like, hey, you know, they could go on the road and beat Marquette, or they could go on the road and beat Kentucky. And so that's it's been interesting to see that evolution, whereas, you know, 15 years ago, you'd just be happy to, like, walk away and not lose by 20, right. 25, you know, and now it's like, hey, in the last 4 minutes, you got a couple chances to tie or take the lead against the top five team in the country, you know.
So, Ryan, talk to me a little bit about what the agenda is, you know, today. How do you guys work through the day with the later start, and give us a brief mm-hmm. overview of Coastal, please.
Yeah, sure. Well, I am.
But before you, Ryan, I don't mean to interrupt you. I mean, also tell Bernie the right pronunciation of the mascot of Coastal would be nice, because Bernie thinks it's the Chandeliers.
It's not the Chandeliers.
Oh, you know what? Chandeliers. I don't know what it is. you know, honestly, guys, today I thought Coach Becker did a great job in the last, you know, 12 hours, giving the guys a break. We basically didn't talk about Coastal at all yesterday. A lot of guys caught up on a lot of sleep. There are a bunch of guys that basically slept from 1 to 7 and then had dinner and then went back to bed, you know, sprinkling a little time outside. This morning we had breakfast. We watched a little bit of personnel this morning. And then we'll do a couple guys went over to the gym, got some shots up, and hopefully spent some time on the free throw line. And then we'll do a little more film at 12:15. We'll do a walkthrough at 12:30, and then one more bout of a film afterwards. And then again, let the guys kind of refocus and get their minds right for 5:00. It's nice to be. This is a little bit more of a traditional game day routine than the 11 a.m. start yesterday. So I think it's good for our guys to have a little bit more time to, you know, kind of get themselves ready to and prepare to play this evening.
And again, what do we, when we're watching or listening tonight, what do we look for that we have to do to be successful, and what are some strengths of Coastal?
Sure. Yeah, I think you know they have a couple of really good guards. Kid Jalen Shaw is probably he's the guy that makes them go. He's their point guard who, you know, is averaging 15 points a game. You certainly would see looking at their first couple of games that he's shooting it at a really high clip from the floor, over 55% from the field and 6 for 9 from three. You know, so he's the guy that kind of makes them go. He struggled a little bit yesterday with. You're making it 5 turnovers against UTSA. But, you know, they have a face four, Zach Cuthbertson, who, you know, is also tied with Jalen for, you know, leading the team and scoring at 15 per. You know, kind of playing off of how they finished the year last year, they are pretty reliant on the three-point line. You know, they'll take and make some tough ones. They have a bunch of guys that are, I don't know if I would call them, like, true knockdown, like, floor spacing shooters, but guys that are able to get and make shots off the bounce or in one-on-one situations, which are almost tougher to guard. So they have a couple of guys that are capable of doing that. You know, defensively, they play hard. They're certainly a help-based team. They'll run a lot of support at the rim, which, you know, it's one of those games for us. We haven't really done a great job of it. The first few matchups is, you know, getting opportunities to knock down some open shots. I think, you know, both the Duncan brothers would say that they should be shooting the ball at a little higher level, and hopefully we can get them going a little bit. I think they'll have open looks outside the three-point line. You know, and then I think finally for us, really, you know, after the first two games, you know, something we've talked about early is just putting together a full 40 minutes. We haven't come out and played great the first half of either game, and I think we'd like to see our guys a little bit more locked in on both ends of the floor, being ready to execute right from the jump and, you know, not dig ourselves a hole. Like, you know, we've been down, you know, at the half now the first two games, and that's something that's a little uncharacteristic of such a veteran team.
And Coach, talk to us about the gym that you're playing is. It seems like it's a smaller gym, but very comfortable.
It's comfortable. Bernie, I'll tell you, if you and I were playing, probably make 6 or 7 threes and wind up going for 30 apiece. I mean, it is a shooter's gym. Not a lot of background. It's small. Boy, it's one of those gyms where if you really get going, you could have one of those nights.
All right, and then so again, we got to get the Duncan shooting a little bit better and foul trouble. Anthony Lamb, where he struggled, yesterday uncharacteristically. How is he moving forward? Because again, he's a young pup with a lot of expectations, and answered the bell against Kentucky tremendously. How is he right now?
That's a good question. I think he's fine. I'm sure he's a little frustrated with his performance yesterday. The big thing with him is, continuing to learn how to navigate, defenses that are just running 2 or 3 guys at him to get the ball out of his hands. We struggled with that late in the second half yesterday. And then just having the sense to let a loose ball go and not pick up that silly second foul. I think that's where he's gotten himself in trouble. He's made sort of some aggressive, yet almost unnecessary, plays to pick up, an early first and then, a really bad second foul, which puts him on the bench for the greater part of the first half. And, for him, I think it's just hard to get in a rhythm. He got in a little bit of a rhythm in the second half to start yesterday, but again, it's just like he needs to certainly think about his importance and value to be on the floor with us and understand that sometimes that gamble isn't worth picking up that second foul. And the result of that gamble certainly isn't worth the result of being on the bench for, as long as he has to be when you pick up 2 early quick ones. So he'll learn through that, and that's something the coaches talked a lot about with him, and hopefully he'll be able to start figuring that out here this afternoon and going forward.
And Ryan, we got about 1 minute left. Just touch upon Steph Smith, just how good he has been in the first 2 games, providing a great boost off the bench for you guys.
Yeah, man. There's just something about him. He's been unfazed in all the games that we've played, whether it be an exhibition or now against Kentucky and yesterday. He's got an aggressive mindset. He's doing what we're asking him to do. And he's one of those kids. And you know how it is, Bernie. He just has a knack to score. And he's aggressive. Yesterday, I think he came in the first time he touched. He knocked down like a 23-footer, yeah, a couple steps behind the 3-point line. And that's how he's wired. And I think if he continues to be ready to play off the bench, he'll continue to be a big spark for us offensively, especially when we're in situations like yesterday where we were struggling to score a little bit, especially in the first half.
And it obviously shows a lot about your depth, the fact that Anthony Lamb was on the bench for most of the second half and you found a way to get a win against a very quality opponent. So, Coach, hey, good luck today against the Chanticleers or Chanticleers or whatever they're called tonight, buddy. And thanks for taking the time. Go Cats, go, my brother. Go take this championship home today.
All right, guys, I'll be thinking about you in this 80-degree weather up north. Have a good Saturday.
He's got to dig
thanks,
us there.
Thanks, buddy.
Got to dig
it.
Us there, Ryan.
Yeah,
thanks
actually,
a lot, buddy. Thanks
I
a lot. Great interview right there, Ryan. It was a really good and interesting, and I love impact from coaches, and especially guys like Ryan Schneider that, not only is, he's in doing this. Like, he's the one scouting. He's like the offensive lineman of the football team. He's one of the most important pieces here that the Cats have.
Yeah, again, he's the man on the scene, but behind the scenes, just grinding, doing that scout to prepare the team for the game today. And just, he's a very good basketball coach, but yeah, again, another quality person that, we should be happy to have around.
And then the typical, Bernie, we would have dropped like 30, 35 in here. What about me? I mean, I could shoot my day, buddy boy. Let me tell you something.
Sorry, pal.
I'm going to be at Colchester High School this week. I'm going to let you up in pig or okay. Horse. You just pick the animal. I'm just saying.
Is that like in the Sahara? Is that one of the things that were charging at me?
Man, listen, I'll tell you what. You take Black Friday on by yourself and you'll be telling me this. You'll be telling people this the next week. We'll be right back. Good morning. It is Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Don't forget to check out our Facebook page. If you haven't joined our Facebook page, you should like it, join it, be a part of it. You can get all the updates you need on what's happening with everything that goes on this station on 101.3 ESPN. Or join us on 101.3ESPN.com. You can do all kinds of stuff on there. It's a great website. So you all should join it. We can get our podcast, Bernie, if you want to listen to us again. Dave has already uploaded all the interviews that we've had, except for Ryan, probably not quite yet Ryan, because Ryan Schneider, because
be there in 2 minutes.
A couple minutes, yeah. Dave is very savvy there, so Anyway, check us out on all of those areas if you want more sports.
I got some other websites that are pretty good if you like.
We don't need to hear about those, pal. We don't need to hear about those. So one of the things that I thought was interesting about our private conversation we had after you got back from Kentucky was a conversation you had with John Calipari. Number one, the fact that you got a chance to talk to Coach Cal is pretty neat. But what he said to you, I thought, was interesting. And when you said it to me, I wrote it down because I wanted to save it because I think this will be an interesting topic to talk about. So why don't you tell me what he said?
After the game, I was lucky enough to see Coach Becker and Trayvell Haynes' interview, and then I waited for Coach Cal to come out. You know, he started talking about the game, and it was just very, you know, again, he's just so realistic and honest. It was very refreshing.
In fact, I think I watched the interview. I think the first thing he said was like, "Who booked this game?"
Right, exactly. And again, it's just very, very complimentary to the Catamounts. And so he gets down, and I'm like, gonna leave the venue, and he's going out to.
Let's be honest, you're like front row, you know, probably getting served some sushi or something.
I'm hanging out.
You're Bernie Siplicki,
just staying out of the way.
Okay, and, yeah, right.
And so
your entourage.
I'm kind of like I'm getting ready to leave, and he comes around the corner, and I'm like, I can't pass this up.
Right,
Coach, congratulations on the win. Love your team. You know, I know it's going to be a process, but good luck with the rest of the season. And he just kind of looks at me and he goes, "Yeah, thank you. You know, I love your team, and you know, you're lucky because I miss some of the time, you know, when I was at UMass and I would go up because he coached at Vermont.
Yep.
When he was at UMass, I missed having seniors and knowing what I was going to expect, you know, day in and day out because they had been through it. And it's just, you know, that's just kind of the difference of where." We are, and I've compared to where I am being
right.
What Coach Cal said, and how you know, I've had to adjust with the times.
And what I think is what I think is so interesting is that so here's Coach Calipari telling you. So when you look at some of the programs that we have in the country that are the power programs, Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, Kansas, you got to throw in there. I mean, there's a handful of teams that have all the one and dones. Kentucky being the one in particular that we're talking about here. And I think this is where the question comes, and feel free to join the conversation, 655-6672, 802-655-6672. As a coaching staff at Kentucky, his job is to try to compete for a national championship every second of every minute of every season. And what he does is he just keeps reloading with these one-and-dones that play for a year and then they're gone. As a fan base, now you're a Duke fan and a rabid Duke fan. Duke does the same thing. You have a team this year that's full of one-and-dones, and you love the winning. But do you miss the fact that you don't get the warm fuzzies that you get with the old teams? Like myself being obviously, and people will laugh, but I'm a Virginia basketball fan. Virginia doesn't graduate kids early, very rarely. I think Justin Anderson graduated a couple years ago, a year early. That's like what is going on at Virginia. You have guys that are on the team for 4 or 5 years if they've been redshirted, and you get to know, you watch them grow up. You become fans of these teams, kind of like pro teams. Well, with teams like Duke and Kentucky, you're more of just a fan of the name because you can't really fall in love with these players because they're gone within 12 months.
Right, and I think that's the ultimate point. You know, we're lucky here because we have the chance to get to know and grow with Trayvell Haynes.
Right.
With those seniors, Cam Ward, Drew Urquhart, all those guys, where, like you said, other than Grayson Allen at Duke—
And if it wasn't for Grayson Allen being, you know, Grayson Allen, he wouldn't be there right now.
What do you mean?
I mean, Grayson Allen has had some character issues.
If
that
Grayson
kept
Allen
out of
was
the NBA
smart
draft.
After he helped them win the first NCAA championship, he should have left then.
Well, I mean, I don't know what his draft status was going to be then, but I don't think it was going to be top five. Grayson Allen would be a pro right now if Grayson Allen didn't have the character flaws that he's had. He's shown, at least for the last couple seasons.
Character flaws or emotions?
Character flaws. Grayson Allen's character is in hardcore question at this moment, I would have to say. Until we'll see how he plays this season when he faces some adversity. I mean, we'll see. But that's why he's not a pro. I mean, Grayson Allen would be a pro right now. Come on. If Luke Kennard is in the NBA, Grayson Allen would be in the NBA.
And Luke Kennard is having a very good early run for
totally
our good friend Coach Van Gundy.
Yeah. Good player. But right. I mean, I don't think Kennard is as good as Grayson Allen is. But the reason Grayson Allen's coming back is because he wants to be a top 3 or 4 draft pick. Let's be honest.
But with the depth of this group, I don't know if he'll be a lottery pick this year.
Well, but we'll see. But we will see. But the point is,
yes.
Is that I think for teams like that, and this is my question to fans out there, and I think that college sports has become, We have a fandom here. And I think UVM is a perfect example of it's easy to root for UVM because, you know, you kind of watch these kids grow up. You know, they're in your backyard as well. But we're talking about team, you know, you grow up rooting for teams. You know, if your family rooted for Michigan growing up or Notre Dame or Alabama or, you know, whatever the reason you start following teams that are outside your backyard, it's because you like the teams and you follow them. What's happening now is I think about the Duke teams in the 90s with Leitner. I mean, those guys all stayed. I mean, and it's funny because you think back, you think, why can't it go back to that? But it's just the way it was, you know. And now is it hard? I mean, is it hard? I have a good friend that's a Duke fan, Aaron, who thinks you're very handsome. I've told you this before. Remember, she said, "Oh my God, the first time I saw Bernie Splicky, he's very handsome. He's a very handsome man." That's what she told me. But she didn't
have her glasses on.
Oh no, she doesn't wear glasses.
Oh, okay.
Maybe she had some glasses of wine. I don't know. that's very possible. But, you know, she said to me one day, and she is a rabid Duke fan, goes to 4 or 5 games a year. I mean, she is big time Duke fan. She's even said to me in the past, like, it's hard for me to have the same type of passion I've had for them because it's like every year it's hard to get to know these kids and you know, and you're a big fan, you know, and that's a question out there. If you are a big time fan of a particular team, I mean, do you like the fact if you are a Duke fan or a Kentucky fan out there and you're rooting for them, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a team that's going to have to build it from the bottom up and try to compete and have kids that are there for 4 or 5 years, whether they're redshirted or not? Or would you rather have a team like Kentucky or Duke that's bringing in these one-and-dones, bringing in these superstar all-star teams, have them for a year and then start all over the next? And I think it's a
great question. I mean, I think that, it's hard. It's hard because Kentucky, Duke, all these schools have adjusted to the landscape of the environment. In terms of recruiting and to be successful, they have to do this.
Right, wrong, or indifferent. Well, I mean, okay, have they adapted or have they just created what they think they need to do to win a championship every year? I mean, I don't know if you've adapted outside. I think every team would like to win a championship every year, but I think when you look at these power teams, I mean, you know, you kind of have. I mean, does Mike Krzyzewski really have to work hard to recruit?
Sure.
Come on. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
You don't think to close?
No.
Really?
I really don't. I don't think Mike Krzyzewski has to work that hard to get the best players to come to Duke. I don't think Calipari has to work that hard to get the best players to come to Kentucky. I think there are certain programs in the country that's where they're going. I mean, all you have to do is look at, and it's which has gotten, we've talked about this too, these high school kids that have these, if you're not on the Bleacher, I know you don't do Facebook or this stuff, but Bleacher Report is what I go to a lot. There's all kinds of information on there. And if you follow a team like I follow, say, Vermont or Virginia, I have a fan page on there that I'm able to read updates and articles. And you see these young kids coming in, these pictures of these kids in high school, and it has all the logos of who's looking at them. And, you know, it always comes down to if they're big basketball players, it comes down to Kentucky or Duke or North Carolina or Cam. Those are the big power conferences. See, to me, it's more difficult for a guy like John Becker, a guy like Tony Bennett, maybe the guy at Maryland. I mean, the guys at Florida. I mean, the guys at big universities. But it's harder to recruit through them because the top tier kids seem to all be flocking to those schools. And I guess my question is to fans out there is, are you cool with that? I mean, are you okay with, you know, having new kids to root for every single year and not be able to create the relationship that, say, Duke fans had with those 90s teams or even Grayson Allen? I mean, Grayson Allen's one of yours. You know what I mean? You know, you're there for him. You know, he's had a rough time. Like, you look at Grayson Allen, you think, this is our guy and we're rallying around him. I know he's got character problems, and I know that he traveled against Virginia 2 years ago when Virginia should have beat them at Cameron Indoor Arena. No big deal. I'm just saying, but you know, you're there for him, Bernie, because I know he's your fan base. But for all these other guys, you have those warm fuzzies like that. That's my question. That's all.
That is.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Did they call the travel?
They did not.
Who won the game?
Duke won.
Okay, thanks.
I'm just saying.
No, let's move on.
I'm just saying. All I'm making my point is that's your guy, and it's hard to have these guys be your guy like that because. You know, they're gone so
quickly. It's hard to get to know and truly appreciate the talents because, like you said, here today, gone tomorrow.
Right.
And that's where, you know, I know there's been some conversation between the commissioner of the NBA and the NCAA about the one and done and that policy. And it's so hard because, is there really a right answer?
Well, there is because one and done. I don't think you should take out one and done because they're going to school to be pros.
But why can't they go to school? Why can't they go from high school?
Well, okay. I don't know because I think, and I'll tell you this too. Maybe I agree with you now that I'm thinking of this. We only have like a few seconds left here, but maybe they should be able to go up from high school. But I think from an NBA perspective, though, you may want to see it at a little higher level.
But then academically, it's a farce because all you have to do is survive the first semester. If you know you're going to the league, you don't even go to class second semester.
Well, and again, what fine.
So then why not just go right to the league?
Because in terms of the NBA, maybe either that or the NBA needs to create some type of minor league system so they players can walk in like baseball has. Because to me, if you're going to college and you're going there to, you know, you're going there to become a professional basketball player, whether it takes 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, or 5 years, that's what you're going there for. If you're going there to be a doctor, you're going there to be an engineer, you do what you have to do to become that engineer. If you're there for 1 year and some engineering firm offers you a job, you take it. I mean, that's just the way it is. So, I mean, that I would never tell anybody that if you get the job you want and you're going to get what you want, you got to leave early. I would never say, you know, it's got to happen. But I think to fix it, the NBA needs to create a minor league system, maybe, for their players if there's athletes that want to come into the high school, because it's up to these teams.
But
they
do have the D-League.
The D-League.
It's not big enough. It's not big enough for the amount of athletes that want to do it. But again, it's about this. We need to talk about this next week. Let's do this next week.
Okay.
All right. We have to take a break. Tie a bow on this show. 2 hours went by quick, Burn.
It's awesome.
It is awesome. We'll be right back.
We are awesome.
Jeff Paul.
It's my quarterback.
Bernie Siplicki. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
2 hours up, 2 hours down, Bern.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Hey, great show today, my man. Hey, I want to thank Jim Plumer, UVM women's hockey coach. Talked about the Cats. Big game tonight for them as they rematch with BU.
Yep, 4 o'clock. Get up to the gut. Check it out.
And Jake Kent joins us, our fantasy football guru. Good information today. And we obviously figured out that Jan has no clue between Christmas movies.
You know.
Okay, there's no Christmas Vacation versus Scrooge. It's not happening. That's 16 versus 1.
Jan helped us out to diversify the portfolio in that segment.
There we go. We always appreciate that. And obviously talking with Ryan Schneider, UVM men's basketball assistant coach. Great insight on their big win last night against Bradley in the big game they had with Coastal today.
Yeah, they got Coastal at Carolina. 5 o'clock today. If you know, game will be seen or heard live here on 101.3. And also, if you go to the Islands of the Bahamas website for the tournament, you can stream it through that. I think you have to pay per game, but
it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely to see that Catamount
squad. And that game's at 5 o'clock. So, hey, Bernie, happy Thanksgiving, man. It's going to be a big week. Now, do you cook the turkey?
I deep fry a turkey.
You deep fry it. Now, how long does it take to said deep fry the turkey?
About 3 to 4 minutes a pound. Yep. So I'm going to hopefully have an 18-pound turkey.
That's a big bird.
So, you know, about an hour 15.
Now, do you have to put the fryer far away from the house?
Yeah.
Yeah, like
I
really
mean,
far.
I do. You do, but, you know, if you want to be...
You want to roll the dice.
Courageous.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, for you,
it's kind of like shopping on Black Friday,
right? Well, but for you, like you have a hard time walking on ice, so I would keep that away from the house. So I'm sure the wife is probably gonna have you like in some kind of padded suit and flame retardant suit and all that. So.
Yeah, you know, she'll protect me.
David, happy Thanksgiving, buddy. Have a great holiday, Bernie. You too. All your family.
You love my wife. The legs and the thighs and the stuffing.
Be very safe out there on Black Friday, guys. We love you for listening. We're Sports Saturday. We're going to be here every Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon, and we're living the dream. We're taking you with us. We're 101.3 ESPN. Thanks so much. Happy holidays. We'll see you next Saturday. Go Cats Go against Coastal, 5 p.m. Don't miss it. We'll talk to you next week. Oh!